I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
City of LA going after laughing gas. You feeling lucky on this Friday the 13th? It's actually good for winning the lottery. But first, where's all the rain? Maybe some sprinkles tomorrow, but nothing major, and that is not good for fires.
The dry conditions throughout Southern California are expected to last through the end of the month, keeping the risk for another dangerous wildfire high. The rain totals in downtown LA are nearly an inch and a half below where they usually are at this point in the season. It's the third driest start of the rain season since 1877. We talked to Brian Lewis with the National Weather Service.
We've kind of gotten the short end of the stick when it comes to precipitation. Another round of rain on Saturday, but again, looks very light for this area. Similar on Monday, maybe even lighter on Monday. And then next week, there's some indications for another round of Santa Ana winds.
Those winds are expected Tuesday into Wednesday, but it's unknown right now if they'll trigger a red flag warning. The outlook predicts that the fire threat will drop to a more normal level next month. LA averages more than 3 inches of rain in January, which makes it the second wettest month of the year behind February.
Schools are closed again in Malibu because of the Franklin fire, but crews are making progress. Dusty Martin with CAL FIRE says they're trying to get the remaining evacuees back into their homes.
To do that, we have to make sure the area is safe and ready to go. For the folks that have returned to their homes, we ask that you stay vigilant. There will still be firefighting personnel working in the area.
Newlyweds Michelle and Blake Geffen lost the home they've been renting since September.
Thank you to the people of Malibu for being such kind neighbors and such sweet people. Like, I've never seen a community that strong and that resilient, so I just really have to thank them for being there for us, and we are there for you guys as well.
About 1,600 people still under the evacuation orders. The fire's about 6 square miles, about 30% contained.
The founder of a violent white supremacist group in Southern California is scheduled to be sentenced in L.A. today after pleading guilty to inciting brawls at political rallies across the state. He was charged with conspiracy to violate the Federal Anti-Riot Act and faced extradition from Romania after leaving the U.S. for nearly a year. He admitted to organizing attacks on counter-protesters during rallies in 2017. Prosecutors are recommending a sentence of no more than 2 years, with him having already served about 2 years in prison.
The LA City Council considering a ban on the sale of nitrous oxide and laughing gas to prevent recreational use. It can lead to accidents and death. Nitrous is legal for culinary, automotive uses, but increasingly it's being sold at smoke shops, used by people to get high. Councilmember Imelda Padilla, who introduced the motion, says the gas is becoming more accessible. There's different flavors now. Council looking at an ordinance from the city of Rialto, which was the first city in the nation to ban the sales of nitrous to minors in 2017 after an accident where a young man died while inhaling it.
Another big lotto jackpot is up for grabs. The Mega Millions drawing tonight could make somebody $670 million richer before the tax man takes his cut. John Baird is hoping to score. He joins us live with the story.
And if I'm not here on Monday, you'll know why. I still think about that delivery driver up north who didn't get around to checking his tickets for months and then got quite the shock when he won something like $300 million. I don't think he went to work the next day. But this jackpot is more than twice as big as that, and it's Friday the 13th. Yes, the odds are pretty slim, like 1 in 302 million, but if you have a couple dollars burning a hole in your pocket, you know, might be worth a shot. I asked a man working up here in Bel Air if he ever buys a ticket.
Occasionally. Usually I don't even remember to do it. And then I hear after that no one won, and then I say, next time I'm going to do it, and then I forget again.
Well, here's the thing. They've had 7 big winners on Friday the 13th in Mega Millions history, so much for being superstitious. And by the way, remember last week when we told you that a winning ticket for a $197 million Mega Millions jackpot, that was half the jackpot, it was about to go unclaimed? There were 2 winning tickets sold at the same gas station in Encino. Turns out the man who claimed the prize for the first winning ticket, half of the money, says he actually bought both of the tickets and lost one. He's now suing the lottery for the rest of it, the other $197 million. He says there's plenty of evidence that he bought both tickets, that his kids picked the numbers, numbers that he says he's been playing for decades.
All right. We'll see where that goes. John Baird, thanks.
More drones have been spotted over New Jersey, and there's been new sightings over LaGuardia Airport last night, and the mystery has made its way to the West Coast as objects have been spotted over Temecula coming from the direction of Camp Pendleton. We talked with Dr. Pramod Abhichandani, who is with the New Jersey Institute of Technology, where he heads the school's Advanced Air Mobility Lab.
What is unique about what people are seeing on the East Coast, especially in Jersey, is that there's not just one drone, right? Like, if there's one drone, it's okay. People own a single drone. They fly drones for whatever reasons. But they're seeing a group of drones. They're seeing a bunch of drones flying in concert with each other. And it's rather fascinating to see that, because most of the times, such type of groups of drones are used for military purposes or research purposes, like in my case, but not necessarily for civilian purposes.
What do you think the ratio is of, like, legitimate concern versus people piling on going, yeah, I saw them too, I want to be in on this? I mean, what do you see when you look at these videos?
Yeah, you know, as someone who works with multi-drone systems, like, I know that it takes a lot of money, technical wherewithal, like a team of people who are smart enough to carry out ground operations and flight operations. So this is not a single hobbyist trying to do this, right? It seems like there's a team of people that are doing this. And so when you look at that, and when you look at the amount of funding that is required, while I've been speaking with experts and they have sort of told me not to rule out any possibility, I agree with that. But if I were to attach, you know, probabilities to each one of these possible outcomes, I would say I'm not yet concerned about anything that's anti-national, anti-social, are spying. I think right now it's mostly leaning towards a group of smart people who have enough funding and enough time, enough resources to test out these systems. Now, who they are, we don't know. We have some work to do there, but seems like it would be incredibly careless on the part of somebody to say, look, I'm going to fly my drones. You can see it. You can take videos, and be a spy or be some sort of a negative intent person.
So you don't think it's Iran with the drone mothership off the coast or you know, the aliens disguising themselves as drones?
Oh boy. The aliens part, I don't know, but yeah, I think it would be highly unlikely if it's another country that has a mothership going or on the East Coast and launching these drones. If you look at the sightings, most of these drones look like the electric vertical takeoff and landing drones, eVTOL drones. And just the battery power on these drones does not allow them to go past maybe 10, 15 miles one way, right? So to imagine somebody is launching these drones from sea and these drones are crossing into like the northern part of Jersey, I just think that's unlikely.
What would it be if it was a bunch of smart guys like you trying to research something or test their drones? I mean, what's the objective? What do you do with this kind of stuff?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Most of my research when we do multi-drone systems has been funded by the U.S. Department of Defense or companies like Lockheed Martin. So there are military applications to these kind of multi-drone systems. And again, my first thought goes in that direction.
That is New Jersey Institute of Technology's Dr. Pramod Abhichandani. An airline flight crew being blamed for injuries to passengers from severe turbulence. Nearly half of them teenagers say they're always online. Coming up, 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
There's been a second big donation to the president-elect.
Amazon founder Jeff Bezos just gave $1 million to Donald Trump's inaugural fund. The donation comes a day after Facebook and Instagram parent company Meta announced a similar donation. Trump says he's returning to the White House with better relationships with both companies. Last week, Bezos expressed optimism about the incoming administration, describing the president-elect this time around as calmer and more settled. Bezos has plans to visit Mar-a-Lago next week. Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
A lot of people do not have confidence in some of Donald Trump's cabinet picks.
A new poll from the Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs Research finds only about 2 in 10 approve of Pete Hegseth, Trump's choice to lead the Department of Defense. 3 in 10 disapprove, and 4 in 10 don't know enough about him to give an opinion. Americans were slightly less likely to disapprove of Tulsi Gabbard, a former congresswoman for Hawaii, who was Trump's pick for intelligence chief. About 2 in 10 approve of Gabbard, while about 3 in 10 disapprove. The rest did not know enough to say or were neutral. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is better known and less liked. 4 in 10 Americans disapprove of his selection for health secretary. Kennedy made his name as a Democratic presidential candidate who promotes claims about vaccines that contradict scientists. And according to the poll, Americans are split on Senator Marco Rubio being elevated to Secretary of State. Both Kennedy and Rubio garnered more support among Republicans. Jennifer King, Washington.
There's a flight crew being blamed for causing passengers to get hurt when the plane hit some severe turbulence.
When Hawaiian Airlines Flight 35 from Phoenix to Honolulu hit the turbulence in December of 2022, ceiling panels fell, an overhead light cracked, and a woman in a bathroom was tossed about. 3 passengers and a crew member were seriously injured. Another 20 passengers suffered minor injuries. Now the NTSB blames the flight crew for flying over a hazardous storm cell instead of around it. The pilot told investigators the skies had been clear, but a cloud suddenly shot up vertically, leaving no time to change course. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
An effort to expand Social Security eligibility is making its way through Capitol Hill.
The Senate is pushing toward a vote on legislation that would provide full Social Security benefits to millions of people, setting up a potential passage in the final days of the lame duck Congress. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he'll begin the process for a final vote on the bill, known as the Social Security Fairness Act. It would eliminate policies that currently limit Social Security payouts for roughly 2.8 million people. People who also receive a pension from a job that is not covered by Social Security, and surviving spouses of Social Security recipients who receive a government pension of their own. The legislation passed the House on a bipartisan vote. Norman Hall, Washington.
We've still got this fight over Los Padrinos Juvenile Hall in Downey. LA County probation defying the state order to shut it down. Probation department says they intend to keep it open, fully operational while they appeal. They've had some long-running staffing problems there, allegations of violence among the detainees. They kept failing inspections for a whole bunch of reasons. The LA Public Defender's Office is going to ask a court that the kids be moved to a more suitable environment. Supervisor Janice Hahn is afraid many would be forced to go to county jail. She says that's a worst-case scenario. The Board of Corrections may sue LA County over all this, so a lot of this might end up in court soon.
The Queen Mary kicked off its 12 days of Christmas with activities aboard the ship each night, from carolers to dancing bellhops and Santa and Mrs. Claus storytelling. Natalie Tavidian talked to families on the ship.
What do you love about this experience, having Christmas here on the Queen Mary?
You know, there's something, Queen Mary, you know, the legacy of the Queen Mary and just how beautifully decorated it is just starts, actually it's 12 days of Christmas, but it feels like Christmas today. So it's just the being here that's so awesome.
What have you done so far? I see you have some hot cocoa. There's a hot cocoa making station. Did you make your own? What did you put in it?
So we put marshmallows in it, and then we also talked to Santa, and we got some cookies up in, over here on the dock.
So you met Santa already. What did you ask for?
I asked for a new Nintendo Switch.
Describe what the Queen Mary feels like.
It feels very magical. It's beautiful for families to come and see, not only to explore the ship, but just to see all the beauty that Christmas brings.
Activities run daily now through the 23rd from 5 to 9 p.m. Most of us are likely to overindulge a bit over the holidays, and if you're going to a party or company dinner this weekend, there are some simple ways to beat the uncomfortable side effects of overeating, like bloating and acid reflux. Dr. Hardeep Singh is a gastroenterologist with Providence St. Joe's in Orange.
Try to avoid overeating. Really emphasize it's not just what you eat, but how you're eating. The second thing we don't always think about is really pace yourself. Take your time to eat, enjoy the food, savor the food. Don't just gobble it up in seconds. That's when you tend to run into trouble. Carbonated beverages are going to make acid, gas, bloating a lot worse. Try to avoid drinking with a straw. When you drink with a straw, you tend to suck in air, and that can cause gas and bloating. chewing a lot of gum can also do the same thing. And then try to maybe go for a walk after a large meal. Sometimes that'll help minimize some GI symptoms after a good meal.
He says some food in particular make acid reflux and bloating worse.
Caffeine's acidic. It tends to irritate the stomach and esophagus. So try to minimize that as much as you can. Chocolate's also an irritant to the esophagus and the stomach. Peppermint is one we don't always think of, but peppermint will irritate and relax the sphincter between the esophagus and the stomach, and that can cause acid reflux. You know, things like oranges, lemons, limes, tomatoes, pineapple, those can definitely give you more acid reflux.
If you suffer from acid reflux, there are a few things you can do to reduce the symptoms.
If you sleep on the left side, it may help your stomach empty, and it may help a bit. But the key is try to go to sleep with an empty stomach. The other thing you can try is elevating the head of your bed, either by having a specific type of mattress or mechanical bed where you can elevate it, or you can get a wedge-shaped pillow and keep your head of the bed at 20 to 30 degrees, and that will help keep acid in your stomach while you're asleep.
If you do plan to drink alcohol, Dr. Singh says there are things you can do to prevent a hangover.
Hydrating with something with sugar and salt, some sort of electrolyte solution, may help mitigate some of those symptoms. So using something like Pedialyte or Gatorade, either during the day before you're drinking or even at night, obviously try to avoid drinking on an empty stomach. And then what you can consider is maybe taking an antacid pill prior to sleeping, maybe something like a Pepcid, which is over the counter.
Yeah, he says if you drink every day, do not take acetaminophen as it can trigger severe side effects. If you wake up with a hangover, Dr. Singh says to, despite popular belief, drinking alcohol in the morning will not get rid of a headache or nausea.